Good morning to everybody. It's good to be here. Here at Faith Bible Church this 23rd of January 2022. We just read through our passage today. We're going to go over John 8, 30 through 32 is where we're going to be at. Before we get back into that, let's go to two or three introductory verses here as we get back into this and see what we have to learn today. So our first, let's turn to 2 Corinthians 5, 15 to 17. 2 Corinthians 5. This is what that says, 2 Corinthians 5, starting at 15, it says, "And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." We should not be living for ourselves, bottom line of that verse. We should be living for the Lord Jesus. Verse 16, "Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more." This is a spiritual matter he's talking about here. Not in the flesh, we need to be in the spirit as we're dealing with this. In verse 17 it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." So, verse 15, we don't live for ourselves, we live for the Lord. 16, it's a spiritual deal here. In verse 17, "Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." If what? Any man be in Christ. We think about that. This hit me a long time ago, and I thought about it, like, cool point here. Like, when we get saved, we accept the Lord, he's in us. And now, it's our turn. We need to be in him. We need to be in Christ. And how do we get into Christ? That's what we're going to look at today. But getting into Christ, we need to be in him, in his word. And if that happens, all our excuses are thrown out. All our fleshly, worldly excuses are thrown out. "Well, this is the way I was raised. This is the way I am. I can't change this." No. Christ is in us. We're in Christ. Old things pass. All things become new. That is a cool promise. So, when we think about that, you see my message today is called The Father's Plan. Charles touched on a verse last week I want to turn to. It's very important. Let's look at 2 Timothy 1:9 in this plan. So, we shouldn't live for ourselves. We should be in Christ. 2 Timothy 1:9. I hope you all like the Bible and know where stuff's at, because we're going to go to a lot of reference verses. I'll try to get through them quick and see what we have to see here. But 2 Timothy 1:9, this plan, look at this plan laid out. It says, "Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." So, not according to our works. Old things pass away. All things become new. We should be in Christ. It says, but according to his purpose and grace, the Lord's purpose and grace. And when was it given us? Before the world began. Think about that. Wow, that plan was given to us before the world began. We should not be in ourselves. Our flesh should die out. We should be in him. Wow, that's a cool plan. Now, a lot of people don't even know that we have a plan in our life. You know, you think of it, it's been said before, like, hey, when you got saved, you got drafted into God's army to serve him, not yourself. That's the plan right here, to serve him through his, what? According to his own purpose and grace, which is given to us before the world began. So, if we're in God's army, he has a plan for us to fulfill that, and we need to be doing it. Okay, that's the plan laid out. What is the consequences if I follow this plan or not? It's our choice. Everybody's choice. There's nobody standing over us with a hammer saying, hey, here's the word, do this with the hammer. It's our individual choice, right? So let's turn to the consequences of that choice. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. There is a judgment waiting. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. There is a judgment waiting on that choice that we need to make. Second Corinthians 5:10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we're made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences." So everything we do in this body is going to be judged, whether it be good or bad. We're going to receive for that. Either receive for the good or suffer loss for the bad. We need to be cognizant of that. This plan that's laid out since the world began, very important. Our choice whether we follow or not. Now, let's go back to the passage in John chapter 8. Context of John chapter 8, we've seen Jesus forgive the lady that was caught in adultery. So a lot of grace there, because under the law, she was to be stoned. And Jesus said, "Hey, he's without sin. You cast the first stone." Nobody cast that first stone, did they? So Jesus forgave her, and he told her to go and sin no more. Just like we, once we get saved, hey, go and sin no more. Repent. Get rid of your old flesh. Do what's right according to the truth and the plan that I've given you. And also in chapter 8, they're coming along, the Pharisees, all of them are coming along and saying, trying to figure out who this Jesus is. You know, he's a new guy around, and he's like, "Who is this guy?" Jesus told him. He's been telling, he's still telling, "Hey, I'm he. You know, I've come for you." But we get down here to John chapter 8, and we see in 28, starting 29, "He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." Jesus always does what God the Father wants him to do and that please him. Very key thing that we ought to follow. Like, what's God the Father want us to do? Here it is, verse 30. "As he spake these words, many believed on him." First point of the lesson here today is faith. As he spake these words, many believed on him. How do we get faith? What is faith? We believe on Jesus. Right here, what did they do? They believed on Jesus through his words that he was speaking. So how do we get faith? Romans 10:17 tells us. So that faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Let's turn to that. Romans 10. You see it right there. Romans 10:17. "So that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. As he spake these words, many believed on him." Faith cometh through belief on Jesus, through his word. So, right here, had you turn into Romans 10, because faith, this is where we see how we get faith, how we get saved, how we come to know the Lord in this time we are in now. The crazy thing about it is many folks will add to this, will subtract from this, will do other stuff, but this is very clear in what we need to do to have faith today. Except the Lord. Romans 10, verse 9. It says, "That thou shalt confess thy mouth, Lord Jesus, and shalt believe thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." How do we get faith? Right there it is. Mouth confession, heart belief. Nothing else added to it, is there? Nothing about church attendance, water baptism, doing all the things that we could, some will say we need to do. No. Mouth confession, heart belief, simple truth of the word, faith. Let's turn to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Salvation is faith alone, grace with faith alone. Nothing else. No works. Cannot do anything. But then verse 10, let's look at verse 10. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. When did he ordain it? We just saw that. Before the world began, way back is when he ordained them. We should be walking. We are created unto good works, and we should walk in them. We should walk into them. There's that choice factor, that choice. Don't have to. No one making it. God wants us to. Remember the plan. Get faith and serve him, because there is judgment coming for all of us on the works that we do. One other thing in this faith that we have today in the body of Christ is called eternal security. We see that in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, meaning, hey, we didn't do anything to earn our salvation. We can't do anything to lose it. Eternal security. Romans 8, 38, 39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is Paul talking to the Romans. He flat lays it out there. Is there anything that can separate us from the love of God? Not a thing. Not a thing. Once you get saved, you can't lose it, because it's a free gift. We didn't do anything to earn it. We can't lose it. Also, Paul tells us in Ephesians 1:13, Ephesians 4:30, we don't need to turn there, but we're sealed to the day of redemption. Holy Spirit comes inside us. He is sealed in us to the day of redemption. That is the day we go to meet him. We're sealed to that day. If you've accepted him with Romans 10:9, salvation, mouth confession, heart belief. Also, let's turn to Acts chapter 20. We'll see what this faith is that Paul is talking about, what he calls it. Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. What does Paul call this faith that he's preaching and he's talking about, that he's living? Acts 20 and 24 says, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Paul is testifying the gospel of the grace of God. Very important to remember that terminology and see that. The gospel of grace is what Paul is preaching to us. And what is that? It's Romans 10:9, salvation, mouth confession, heart belief. It's Romans 8:38-39, eternal security. You can't lose it. Very important to understand that faith that we have today. If you accept that, accept Jesus today, according to the truth of the word, just like we're supposed to do here, believe on Jesus through his word. There it is. It's the gospel of grace. And also, we don't turn to it, but Ephesians 3:2, Paul said, hey, you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God that I've given you. Back to that reference of gospel of grace. He's given the dispensation of grace that the Lord God gave to Paul directly. No man gave it to Paul. It was a mystery before. Here comes Paul, and he's preaching it. He's preaching this gospel of grace. The reason why I'm talking about it so specifically is because there's other ways in the Word of God that tells us we need to have faith. And we'll see that. We'll look at these details and see what we can glean from that. This faith is also in the Word. So, let's look and see what else we see from another type of faith. Matthew chapter 24. Let's turn to that. Matthew chapter 24. Remember, faith is believe on Jesus through his word. Matthew 24 says, verse 13, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Then shall the end come. Context of Matthew 24 he's talking to his disciples. And they asked him the question in what? In verse 3 it says, "And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" So Jesus is talking to his apostles, his disciples, saying, they asked him this question, he's answering it. This is how he's answering it. That's the context. Sign of thy coming, end of the world. Remember, he's sitting right there with them, so let's talk about the second coming. They're asking about the second coming, the end of the world. And this is what he says, verse 13. "But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved." What is saved for us to be saved? "That thou shalt confess thy mouth, Lord Jesus, believe thou in the heart that God is raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved." There's nothing about enduring. Verse 14 is the key, though, because it says, "And this gospel of the kingdom." What was Paul's gospel? Gospel of grace. We got a little different gospel here, a little different faith we're talking about, because the context, he's giving it to his disciples, and they're answering the question, what's going to be the sign of that coming into the world? In other words, tribulation time. So, let's continue on, look at some more details. A little different faith here. Mark 16. From the book of Mark, chapter 16, this is Jesus talking in the same context of the Great Commission to his disciples. And he says in verse 16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." So, Lord Jesus just told his disciples, believe and is baptized. That's water baptism he's talking about. Water baptism. So, not the same as what Paul said. A little different. Context again. Jesus talking to his disciples. Talking to the nation of Israel. The faith that he's delivering to them. The key thing to remember when I say all this is the Lord's plan for the whole world was to reach the whole world through the nation of Israel. So he's given them this plan. Reach the whole world through the nation of Israel. He's given them this faith to lay this out. And this is what he's laying out in this gospel of the kingdom. Hey, there's more than just faith here in this. It requires a work. It requires enduring. It requires water baptism. And then you might say, well, that's only one or two times mentioned. Well, there's more times mentioned. Let's look at a couple more of them. As Peter's saying in Acts chapter 2, what's Peter doing? Acts chapter 2, after the Lord has risen and went to be with the Father in heaven, this is Peter preaching the word. Acts chapter 2, verse 37 and 38, it says, "Now when they heard this," Acts 2, 37, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." There's Peter preaching. After the ascension of the Lord, he's saying, hey, repent, be baptized. Repent and be baptized. Water baptism. Just as Christ told them to do from Mark 16. Also, Peter mentions again, we won't turn to it, but he mentions again, the water baptism does now save us. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. He says it again. So, Peter is preaching the gospel of the kingdom that the Lord gave him. And it is faith with works, not faith alone. Like we're given to us, is given to us by the Apostle Paul. So, this gospel of the kingdom also has one big difference than the gospel of grace. Does not have eternal security. We see that. Let's look at that. Matthew 12. Matthew 12, the Lord basically says that sin that can't be forgiven. If you do that, Matthew 12, 31, the Lord says, "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come." blaspheme the Holy Ghost, the gospel of the kingdom, not going to be forgiven. You're not going to make it. You're not saved. You lost your salvation. Not a good thing. It goes along with taking the mark in the tribulation time frame. We see that in Revelation. But also, we see, let's look at 2 Peter 2, what Peter says about eternal security. 2 Peter 2. Second Peter 2:20 says, 2 Peter 2:24, if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, and after they had known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Not a good thing here, Peter's saying. After you've known the Lord Jesus, you turn from him, tangled again, in bondage to the sin, to the world, the latter end is worse than them in the beginning. They shouldn't even have known the truth. So, no eternal security there. We also see it one other time in Revelation. Revelation 3. This is John that wrote Revelation. Revelation 3, 5. Revelation 3, 5. He says, he that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. So, you got to overcome. If you don't overcome, this tribulation time frame, context of the nation of Israel, don't overcome, you'll be blotted out in the book of life. No eternal security, in other words. Didn't endure to the end. Didn't overcome. Blaspheme the Holy Ghost. Take the mark. Don't have eternal security in the gospel kingdom. So, laid all that out to see, like, hey, there's a couple different things here going. We got faith going on. What's going on here with faith? How do we make sense of all these apparent contradictions, is what they're called in the Bible? These are stuff I just went through real quickly. There is apparent contradictions, like, you got this way, you got that way. Okay. The Lord wants us to follow his word. Which one is it? It can't be both. Right? It can't be both. To us. So, the key thing here is we're laying out a thing called doctrine. We need to follow the doctrine that is for us and laid out for us. I wanted to give a basic definition that our pastor David Davis in Kansas City gave us a long time ago about this doctrine thing. We need to be following it. But it says, doctrine is truth given by God to a specific group of people that they will be accountable for at their judgment. Truth given by God to a specific group of people that they will be accountable for at their judgment. That's the doctrine. That's the definition of doctrine. Now, are we accountable for everything that's in the book? The whole Word of God? Genesis through Revelation? You got the law? You got all that stuff in the Old Testament? No. We don't have to do that stuff to please God. At that time they did, though, right? They had to follow the law to please God. That was their doctrine. Yeah, it's pretty basic. You see that, like, something changed. Well, the Lord came along. The Lord came along, and he was, as we're going to see here in a little bit, he was coming along to the nation of Israel. He was trying to reach the world through the nation of Israel. That was God's plan. What happened? The nation of Israel rejected that plan and that thought. And what did God do? He turned to Paul. He turned to the Apostle Paul to bring about this gospel of grace and this dispensation of grace, this time we are living in now. Interesting point in that is, pretty common knowledge that we are in the body of Christ now. This dispensation of grace, this gospel of grace is for the body of Christ. You will not see, in the Word of God, you will not see a mention of body of Christ in any other writings other than from Paul. The Gospels, Peter, James, and John, all of them, none of them talk about the body of Christ. It's only Paul. That's a key point to remember to see in the Word. Also, the flip side of that, Paul never writes about the word priest or priestly, which is prophesied to the nation of Israel from the Old Testament. Not a mystery, in other words. It was prophesied to the nation of Israel. So you only see the word priest and priestly. You won't see it any in Paul. You'll see it in the others, Peter, James, and John, and the Lord talks about it. So kind of an interesting point on that. So how do we make sense of all these apparent contradictions? We need to understand which doctrine applies to us. 2 Timothy 2:15, it's right here on the front of the pulpit. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's a command. That's a command from Paul. It says, hey, you need to rightly divide it. If you command to rightly divide it, then how we divide it. It also means there's a wrong way to divide it. So you get into the breakdown of the Word of God and understanding. First rule of Bible study, it's already kind of touched on, is what is the context? Who is this book written to? Who was the audience of the Word? Just like the definition of doctrine, is truth given to a specific group of people? Who is this truth given to? So, that's how you can try to understand this, how we can get our arms around this thing called faith, how we make sense of all these apparent contradictions. Let's dig into this a little bit more, and we'll move on to our second point. So, Matthew 28, Great Commission, Matthew 28:19-20, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So we see very important water baptism, very important in the Great Commission there. But I wanted to focus on verse 20, teaching them to observe all things. This is the Lord talking to his disciples and saying, hey, observe all things I have commanded you. And you think about that. What did Jesus say? He said a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff. Believe it or not, a lot of that stuff doesn't apply to us. I'm going to show you one or two points here. Let's look at Matthew chapter 10. This is what Jesus told his disciples to do. Is this what we're told to do? Let's look at verse 5 and 6, Matthew 10. He's sending the 12 out, and he says, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and to any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So Matthew 28 says, teach them to observe all things that I command you. So here's what his command was right here. Go not to the Gentiles. Go only to the house of Israel, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Go only to the nation of Israel. Back to the plan. Like God's plan was, hey, he's going to save the world through the nation of Israel. That's what the plan was. That's what he was carrying on. That's what was trying to happen here. That's why Jesus said, go only to those. Is that what Paul tells us? No, we go to everybody. This is for salvation for everybody. You go to everybody with it. So why would Jesus make a statement like that? Let's look at Romans 15:8. Paul tells us a little bit more. Romans 15:8 about Jesus here. Romans 15:8 says, now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. So there's what Jesus was, a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God. He came to the nation of Israel to give them truth, to minister to them, to save them, to win the world through them. Minister of the circumcision. Tells us why Jesus said what he said there in Matthew and a lot of other places. So let's flip over to Romans 11. We do a quick comparison. What does Paul say he is? Romans 11 in verse 13 says, "For I speak to you Gentiles, insomuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office." So Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. Jesus was a minister of circumcision. Paul, the apostle of the Gentiles. Now, what's the difference? Circumcision is the nation of Israel. You need to know what tribe you're in. You need to know a lot of things. Understand a lot of things from the law, everything written there. All the promises of the Old Testament are given to the nation of Israel, not given to us as the body of Christ. So Paul says right here, "I am the apostle of the Gentiles." Gentiles, anybody that's not from the nation of Israel. Anybody else not from the nation of Israel. So we're trying to see some comparison here, trying to make sense, and it all boils down to this meeting that was found in Galatians chapter 2, where Paul went up to Jerusalem to meet Peter, James, and John. Let's turn to that, Galatians chapter 2. So, which faith are we following? What are we doing here? What does God want us to do? Because it's very important in understanding the Father's plan. So in Galatians chapter 2, Paul is going up to Jerusalem and he's meeting with those that are in reputation. We see that verse 2. "And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain." So he's communicating to those, Peter, James, and John, those that are of reputation, that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. What is that gospel? Gospel of grace. Okay, as we continue on, let's go down to verse 6 here. Galatians 2 says, "But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me, for God accepted no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me." So Paul's saying, hey, those that are somewhat, those that Peter, James, and John, they didn't add anything to what I had to say, what I was saying. They couldn't add anything to me. But look at verse 7. Contrarywise, this comparison, but contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. What do we see there in verse 7? We see two gospels. We see a gospel of the uncircumcision that was committed to Paul, and we see the gospel of the circumcision that was unto Peter. Two gospels, two separate ways to have faith. Verse 8, "For he that wrought effectually in Peter to that apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles." What we see in verse 8, we see two different apostleships. We got Paul going to the Gentiles. We got Peter going to the circumcision, the apostle of the circumcision. In verse 9, "And we, James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me. They gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of the fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision." So there's two different ministries right there. Paul is going to the heathen, the Gentiles, with the gospel of the uncircumcision, the gospel of grace. Peter, James, and John are going to the circumcision with the gospel of circumcision, the gospel of the kingdom. Pretty straightforwardly laid out there. Two different things going on. And they're going their separate ways. They have an understanding. But Peter, James, and John didn't add anything to what Paul had to say, because he had a different deal that came straight from the Lord. Galatians 1:12 tells us that. So, it boils down to, what are we going to do? What faith are we choosing to follow? We need to be fallen. Back to the beginning, believe on Jesus through His Word. To believe on Jesus through His Word in this time, today, what do we need to be doing? Believing on Jesus through His Word. And who did Jesus give His Word to? He gave it to the apostles, Gentiles. He gave it to Paul. So we need to be following what Paul says. We need to be disciples of the Lord, following what Paul says. To understand that. To rightly divide it. To make sense of all these apparent contradictions. Why all these differences? These, you know, could be confusing. God is not the author of confusion. Satan is. Not God. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 11:1 to back up what I just said. We need to be following Paul. 1 Corinthians 11:1. It says, 1 Corinthians 11:1, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Hey, we need to follow Paul. Also, 1 Corinthians 4. That's what 1 Corinthians 4 says, 15:16. 1 Corinthians 4:15-16. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus have I begotten you through the gospel of grace. I've begotten you. This is what Paul's saying to the Corinthians in verse 16. What's he saying? Wherefore, I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Follow what Paul is saying. Straight from the Word of God. So to be a disciple of Christ, in the body of Christ today, in this dispensation of grace, we need to be following the gospel of grace. We need to have the faith of the gospel of grace. Romans 10:9. Mouth confession, heart belief. Romans 8:38, eternal security. It ain't going nowhere. I can't lose it. So, let's turn back to our passage in John. Go to the second point. Keep it in mind. Second point is focus. What's the Lord say here? In verse 31, it says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. So, continuing in the Lord's word. That's how we got faith, was to believe on Jesus through his word. How do we continue in it? And why should we continue in it? The plan, Father's plan to us, he definitely wants us all to be saved. He does not want any of us going to hell. He wants us to be saved. But he didn't save us just to have fire insurance from hell. He wants us to serve him. Right? That's what the plan is. We're drafted into the Lord's army. He wants us to serve him. So how are we serving him? And what are we doing? How do we do it? It says here, verse 31, if you continue my word. There's that again. Back to the word, the importance of it. Need to focus on the doctrine. The doctrine that applies to us. Why should we do that? Because what God has laid out. A very important key point to understand is, what is Satan doing with this word that's given to us? The battle is there. That's where the battle is at. Let's turn to the focus and see the focus that Satan has on this doctrine. This word that's for us. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. Satan's focusing on the word to get us out of this, the Lord's truth. Ephesians 4, verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. This is in the context of the church responsibilities, and it's talking about we should not be tossed to and fro. How do you get tossed to and fro? Because you don't know the doctrine that applies. You don't have that solid foundation, that solid understanding of understanding. This applies to me. This is God's will in my life. I need to be doing it. the state come along and toss you to and fro. Here, this is another deal here. This sounds good. Let's go do that. Whatever, you know. Satan's plan is to get us out of doctrine, tossed to and fro. Also, we saw from last year, our vision was to preach the word. Let's go to that passage in 2 Timothy chapter 4. See what Satan does there. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verses 3 and 4. We see in verse 2, preach the word, be in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and doctrine. That's what we need to be doing. It's our vision for last year. It's our vision. It should be our vision for every day. Preach the word, being instant in season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. There's a lot to that. But what's it say in verse 3? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. We see a lot of that going on these days. Itchy ears. Hey, Pastor, I didn't like what you said. That offended me. Well, what's the word say? It shouldn't matter. It shouldn't matter how offended. In fact, if you leave church not offended, it's probably the pastor's not doing his job. He needs to be laying the truth out and what it's saying straight from the word here, because people don't like that. But it all comes down to today's time is how many nickels and noses you can get in the seats, you know, what's going on. But the truth gets left out. The truth here is Satan is attacking doctrine. And that's what we're trying to lay out. So what do we focus on? The doctrine that was given to us by the Apostle of the Gentiles, the Apostle Paul. The key words that Jesus laid out in John 8 was if. That's our choice. Back to that deal. Our choice. No one is going to make us. No one can coach us. Anybody's ever coached the kids or whatever, you cannot coach desire. You cannot coach it. They either have it or they don't. Same way, being a Christian, you cannot coach the desire, the focus you have to have. It comes, that's between you and God. You have to have it. You have to do something. Or that's the good work we need to have, is that focus on the Word and being a servant of the Lord, following the doctrine that He has laid out for us. Now, you might ask, well, what has He laid out for us? Well, pretty good indication it's going to come through Paul, what I've laid out. I'm going to lay out several verses here to show. But yes, it does come through Paul. We need to be following Paul and what he says. Let's start. We were in 2 Timothy 4. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Focus. Because Satan is focused on taking us out of it, we need to be focused on staying in the doctrine that applies to us. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we're looking at verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is Paul talking to Timothy, and he's saying, hold fast the form of sound words that thou hast heard of me. The words you've heard of me, hold fast them. There's that deal with if. It's on us too. If we want to hold fast or not. Hold fast to what? The word that Paul has spoken. Okay, second one. 1 Timothy 4:16. Quite a few examples here. 1 Timothy 4:16 says, take heed unto thyself and unto the what? The doctrine. Unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Take heed to what? Unto the doctrine. Continue in it. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now, there's that word save. Is Paul saying you can save yourself? You stay in the doctrine? No, it's not what he's saying. What is the context of this chapter? We're in chapter 4. And verse 1 tells us the context. It says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. That's what you're saved from. The deception that Satan is trying to do to us, to take us out. Save yourself from that deception. Remember we saw in Ephesians 4:14 there about every wind of doctrine. So be saved from that. Satan's trying to toss this to and fro. You save yourself from that deception. Very, very important. Next example, 2 Thessalonians 3, page or two over to the left. 2 Thessalonians 3:4 says, "And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you." Paul talking to the church at Thessalonica, saved believers, saying, "Hey, we have confidence in the Lord touching you." Following the Lord, as I'm following Christ, as Paul said, "As the Lord, in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you." What Paul commanded, do them. Next example, page over, is 2 Thessalonians 2:15. It's on the same page. 2 Thessalonians 2:15. "Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistles." There's Paul telling Thessalonians to stand fast. There's that "if." It's our choice. It's our choice. No one can make us stand fast. No one can make us stand fast. No one can have us hold fast. It's our choice. Got two more examples and we'll move on to the next point. Philippians 4:9. What should our focus should be on? The doctrine that Paul has given us. Philippians 4:9 says, "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me," this is Paul talking to the Philippians, "do it." Seen in me, do. There's a command. Do them. "And the God of peace shall be with you." Do them. The plan that God the Father has laid out for us is through Paul. Just do them. Do what he has laid out for us. The final example is Colossians. Back to the right. Colossians chapter 1. We start in verse 21. It says, "And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight." When's all that going to happen? At that judgment seat. At our judgment seat. "In the body of his flesh, through death, to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight." At the judgment seat of Christ. And verse 23 is the key here. What's it say? If, there's that word. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. The things I spoke, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled. With faith. The doctrine that comes from Paul. The dispensation of grace. The gospel of grace. If you continue in it, and be not moved away from the hope the gospel, you can be holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight, the Lord's sight. Very key thing. So, Father's plan is to have faith. The Father's plan is to have focus. Focus on the doctrine that's laid out for us. We go back to John chapter 8. We'll wrap this up. See the third point of freedom. John chapter 8. See the freedom point. And we see here, I'll read it all again in verse 30. It says, "As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Verse 32, And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." If you continue in it, in the word, in the doctrine that's given by God to us, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What's the definition of truth? Well, it's in the Bible. John 17:17 tells us, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." The word of God is truth. The word of God is truth. And We've been reading everything from the Word of God today, right? So this is not my words. This is not opinions. This is not anything other than from the Word of God, rightly divided and in context. And it says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Here's the problem. How come we, as Joe Christian today, don't know the truth? Well, oftentimes, churches are not preaching the truth, are not standing on truth, are not holding fast to the truth, not holding fast to the traditions that Paul taught, that he spoke, all the words that he spoke. They're not doing it. And so, don't know the truth. We're blown around by every wind of doctrine. We think we're doing what's right. We get into dig into this word, like, oh, maybe I thought wrong about that. They don't know the truth. It's the church's fault. The churches need to stand up, preach the truth. Ephesians chapter 4 tells us that. Let's look at Ephesians 4. We're at 4:14. Let's look at 15 and 16 in Ephesians 4. What the churches should be doing. Laid out, it says, Ephesians 4:15, "But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." Church's job, speak the truth in love. So we don't be tossed by every wind and doctrine. We won't be. We don't. The Father's plan is not that. That's Satan's plan. We need to be focused on speaking the truth in love. And that's what we try to do here. It's what we try to convey. And we continue on and see the freedom that comes from knowing the truth. Let's turn to our vision verse for this year. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Here's that word again, stand fast. Galatians 5, chapter verse 1. "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty where Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." That stand fast is our choice. That's like the word is. It's our choice to stand fast. We need to be standing fast in the liberty where Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Well, now, what yoke of bondage? What's that? You know? What's that? In this context, Paul he rebukes the Galatians quite a bit. And that yoke bondage, guess what they were going into? It was religion. They were going into the Jewish religion. They weren't understanding everything Paul had said to them. They were going back to the law, the do's and the don'ts. Paul's rebuking them pretty hard. So that was one yoke of bondage, that religious side. The other yoke is the sin side, our flesh side. We are saved to be a servant of the Lord. He does not want us sitting around. He wants us serving Him. He does not want us in our flesh. The very first verse we read today from 2 Corinthians 5:15. Henceforth, we don't serve ourselves anymore. We serve Him. All things have become new. We serve Him. Our vision this year is going from captivity to Christ. The captivity that sin has us in, that the bondage of religion has us in, and we go to Christ. How do we do that? We understand the Father's plan, which is faith, focus, and freedom. We're going to go to a final passage here and see this, like, wow, this really lays out what I was trying to say. We're going to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. We'll start in verse 6. And we'll read through 18 on this. Go through it. See that you can see the plan here. The Father's plan of getting the faith, have a focus, and have freedom. Verse 6. "Knowing that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." Don't be in the bondage of sin. Don't serve it. We shouldn't, because our old man is crucified with him. Verse 7. "For he that is dead is freed from sin." You ever known any dead people to sin? See them there laying in the casket. They're not sinning anymore. they've moved on. They've made the choice to move on. You can't sin when you're dead. We need to be dead to sin. Be free from it. We're dead in Christ. We're alive. Our flesh is dead. We're alive in Christ. We are dead to sin. Verse 8. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Living with Christ. Verse 9. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over Him. Death, it's the thing that happens to all of us. It's pointing a man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. We're all headed for our judgment. What are we doing with the plan that God has laid out for us? Verse 10, for in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. And we should too. Verse 11, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We need to reckon ourselves. There's that focus. There's our choice. Reckon ourselves. We need to be dead indeed to sin. Don't be in the bondage of sin. We have the power to overcome anything, any sin we're in. Verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Do not obey the lust of the flesh that our flesh wants us to take us to. Don't be in that bondage. Don't need to be in that captivity. Verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Our members, our whole body, everything we have, don't yield it to unrighteousness. Yield it to God. Give it to God. Let Him have the power to guide us and direct us as we're focusing on that doctrine that He's given us. Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. We're not under that yoke of bondage from religion, the law, the works of the law, all that. We're not under that. We're under grace. Verse 15, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. No, do not do that. Because why? What's the plan? Remember the plan? The plan is to have faith and have focus because we got to answer for it at judgment seat. Everything we do, good or bad, we have to answer for. That's where the key thing is. People lose sight of. It's like, oh, this is just one little white lie, one little sin. That it won't hurt nothing. God does not want us going there. We have to answer for that. When you know the truth, it shall set you free. You're free from that. He gives us the power to overcome. Then, verse 16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. It's our choice who we yield ourselves servants to obey, the sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. Verse 17, but God is thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart. Notice this. What have you obeyed from the heart? That form of doctrine which was delivered to you. That form of doctrine which was delivered to you. This is Paul talking to the Romans. So what form of doctrine was delivered to them? What Paul delivered. The gospel of grace. The body of Christ. All that Paul delivered. That's the form of doctrine that they did what? They have obeyed from the heart. What should we be doing? Obeying from the heart what Paul has laid out for us. Verse 18, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. You're made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Serving the Lord, the righteousness of the Lord, what God would have us to do. One final point, very interesting, that ends in ye became the servants of righteousness. At the judgment seat, we're going to receive for the good and the bad. At the judgment seat, there is possibility of reward, and the very first possibility of three rewards, the very first one that you have to have is found in 2 Timothy 4:5-8. We're going to turn there and we'll close it out. See the word righteousness. 2 Timothy 4. Be a servant of righteousness. 2 Timothy 4, we start in verse 5. This is Paul at the end of his life talking to Timothy, and he says in verse 5, "But watch out on all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." We need to be doing the same thing, making full proof of our ministry and doing the work of an evangelist, enduring afflictions. So verse 6, this is Paul says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth," verse 8, "henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Crown of righteousness, servant of righteousness, following that form of doctrine from the heart that was delivered to you, following Paul, holding fast, standing fast to what the Lord delivered through Paul, to be able to receive this crown of righteousness, to love his appearing above all else. Very key point to see. That's what makes us free. Knowing the truth shall make us free. We need to have faith in the gospel of grace from the doctrine given through Paul. We need to be focused on the doctrine given to us through Paul, and we have freedom knowing the truth, understanding what the end result will be if we obey from the heart what we should be doing. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for this day and your word you laid out for us. Lord, just help us to see it a little bit clearly, more clearly, Lord, and understanding what faith you have us to follow, the focus you want us to have, and that freedom that comes, Lord, when we get to meet you one day as a servant of righteousness, to hopefully receive the crown of righteousness if we have continued, if we have held fast, if we have stood fast on your word, on your truth that you deliver to us, Lord. I just pray that we can do that. We can just want to give your truth out to others, to be a light for others, and to be able to live your truth, Lord, because one day we will answer for it. We just thank you and praise you now for all things. Let your will be done in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.